So thankful that the Lamb of God is at the right hand of the throne, and He ever lives to make intercession for us. And we need that, because we would never enter into the presence of God without the presence of the sacrifice before Him. His wounds still plead for us. And as we go to Him in daily confession of sin, we lean upon the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. What a good song. Let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, as we work through this book slowly but surely, chewing on the words, thinking about them, meditating on them, seeing them in light of the context of the entirety of the book. We'll read the first two verses again. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." There's an element here that we've seen, that the wars are wars or friction, strife between people, but it also starts within our own members, that there are desires that bring us into conflict with other people. So when we live a life for ourselves, according to the flesh, our desires are against the Spirit. And when the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, amen. It's peace within amongst ourselves. As we walk in the Spirit, we have that supernatural divine peace. But if we walk according to the flesh, there's an aspect which what we do in RU is we kind of go through and identify the opposites of those virtues, the works of the flesh that are what we produce. And we see this element of conflict, strife that takes place. And I want us to notice here in verse 2, that when we are filled with our own desire and we live for a desire for ourselves, he says, ye lust and have not. I think that's divine. That's God's plan. That if we choose to say, you know what, I'm going to set my compass of my life and I'm going to try to figure out how to live it according to what I want. No matter what you set your goal on and desire, you will not get it. Because God wants us to depend upon Him. The biggest tragedy in life is to live a life without fellowship with God. God knows that. That's what God wants. We think, well, why don't... I think in my mind, I start thinking about this realm of possibility, of this wonderful life. It's all about me, and I can have whatever I want, and I'm in charge, and I start imagining myself as if I'm God. I don't think of it that way, but what I'm wanting is that autonomy that's apart from God, and that's my flesh speaking to me. And you know what? There is no paradise when you live for yourself. You cannot have it. And so God, what He does is He thwarts our desires. One of the worst things that God could do is confirm someone in their unbelief. Confirm them in their choices so that they are sitting there fully sustained and they have no needs. What's the Bible say about a rich man? Not in terms of just monetary wealth, but he's talking about someone who doesn't need anything or sees no need. He says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to come to a place where we recognize our needs are in God. And if we live for ourselves, we will be dissatisfied. You know, there's an aspect to which I love. The old quote, I don't know if it's probably, I don't say no, it's old, if everyone, maybe it's not as well known, but you've heard it before, so maybe you've heard it. You know, life is supposed to taste like cardboard if you insist on eating the box. I think that's pretty good. If you say, you know what, He's got the cereal, He's got the life, everything's inside of it, and you say, nah, I'm going to live for the husk. I'm going to live for the the material wealth. I'm going to live for the personal pleasure. I'm going to live for what I can get out of this life. And you start chowing down on the box, and life always is dissatisfying. And so that's a great warning to us. Whenever we get to that place where we feel empty, feel like my life's kind of vain, feel kind of down. Not that you can't walk with the Lord and go through emotional experiences that are down. I'm not saying that. That certainly can happen. Sometimes you're just tired. I don't want to make you feel bad for having negative aspects. But many times, God just kind of sends us a little wake-up call through our own emotions. Because our emotions start to dip. And we just start going down. And it often means, for me personally, it means my eyes have dipped. And they're not looking on the Lord and who He is. I want us to see, what is the answer to this? What's the opposite of living a life filled with desire, but unfulfilled desire? You're warring, you're clawing, and you're scraping, you're doing everything you can to get it, and you just can't get it. What's the opposite of that? Contentment. All right, very good. Now, I ask a question, and that is a good answer because you've described it, but I'm looking for one particular answer that's coming right out of the Bible. Right out of the very verse. Because it doesn't matter, I could just throw out something here, but what does contentment look like in this verse? Asking. He says, ye have not because ye ask not. Do you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to live in dependence upon God for every part of every desire, everything we want, because we're not losing. We all sit here. No, I submit my desire to the Lord. And we begin to pray and ask God. This type of focus upon the Lord is the exact opposite of going to live life to get everything I can out of life. And part of it is, he's going to talk about this. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume upon your lust. And we're going to talk about that next time. But that kind of helps us understand that many times what we can start to think of in terms of prayer is we think of that prayer is just one of those tools by which I claw and scrape to try to get what I want out of life. But I'm trying to use God, and I have not changed my entire viewpoint in verses being, one, I am living for what I want. If this is what I want, then over here is, I have given what I want and submitted it to the Lord. God, you're in charge. I'm dependent upon you. I need you, O God. You begin to pray and ask. So you know what? Here's the simple thing. If I live for my flesh, well, I'm going to suffer. Because if I bless this prayer, I'm living for what I can get out of life, however I want to. You say, Pastor, do you think the Bible really wants us to pray? Do you mean, Pastor, do you think the Bible thinks that we should be in prayer all the time? Pray without ceasing. There's an element that God wants us to live our life with one of our eyeballs, okay, two of our eyeballs, on God all the time. That He never leaves our consciousness. And then everything we're doing is an ongoing conversation and communion with our God. That's how you live a submissive, surrendered life. You know what? That's how you receive from the Lord. you get the blessings of God exactly as He wants. Not everything I demand, but everything that He wants to give into my life. I think it's interesting that we come back to prayer, and I'm going to end with this thought. Let's turn back to chapter 1. Remember the whole process here. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You're going through trials, knowing that it's the trying of your faith that's going to work into you patience, and patience through that work of endurance is going to bring you to the perfection of the Christ-like character that God wants in your life. And you say, man, I'm not sure if I know how to get through this. I need the wisdom and direction from God. And He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The first solution in response to trials that undergirds a response of counting it all joy is going to God and asking Him in prayer, Lord, please direct me. Please guide me. And so, what God wants from us, even tonight, is what we have all gathered here to do, is to pray, to take our desires and to bring them before God and to submit them to Him. Now, we're going to look at, I think, in the next week, my goal is to kind of look at and say, what are some of the things that hinders answered prayer? What keeps us? What does the Bible say can keep us from God answering our prayers that we want Him to answer? And what are the things that God tells us? These are the things you need to see answered prayer in your life, because there's some amazing prayer promises that are across the board. Ask and ye shall receive. And we want to look at those promises and say, that gives us an undergirding. When we come to prayer, we can have confidence before God. He wants us to have that confidence. And I trust that we will submit to Him. So even as tonight, if the Lord's convicted you about the lack of prayer in your life, He's even doing it even right here behind this pulpit. Like, oh man, boy. I have a long way to go in regards to living the life that the Lord wants me to live in prayer and dependence upon Him, not according to the flesh, but dependent upon the Spirit. May God help us this evening. All right, we'll give out some awards here. Maybe, save that.